Hayoim Yoim Rishoim Bashabos is Dal Kisef. We're supposed to learn Hayoim Yoim. But the deal is this. We learn Maimorim at Hashem's help Fridays. Sometimes the Maimor doesn't finish on Friday, so it spills over. For those who do not know, we have a Seder Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach to learn every Maimor, every Friday a Maimor from the Rebbe. The idea is to finish it in one morning. If it doesn't happen, then we do it on Sunday, or sometimes on Thursday, whenever the opportunity arises. This week, we're learning the Maimorim of Tovshin Mem Vav, 1986. And Bashkocha Pratis, and I value this Bashkocha Pratis, I think it's very significant. We started this Seder of learning the Maimorim of the Rebbe Yutus Kislev. This became our tradition. Yutus Kislev, we started a new year. So we did, from Yutus Kislev to Yutus Kislev, old Maimorim of the Rebbe from 1988, Tovshin Memche. Then we did, from Yutus Kislev to Yutus Kislev, old Maimorim of the Rebbe from 1987, Tovshin Mem Zayin. And now we're doing Maimorim of Memvov. We have two Maimorim left. When we do these two Maimorim, we will, with Hashem's help, have learned all the Rebbe's Maimorim from Memvov. And we're going to start this Yutus Kislev, Memhei, but Be'ezer Hashem. Going backwards. So I had an extra week. So I had choices, and I decided that this is what I'm planning to do, to learn the first Maimorim from the Rebbe, and those extra weeks to go back to the very beginning. Learn Mamish, the Ersh Maimorim from the Rebbe. So we're learning a Maimor from Tovshin Yud Beis. Last summer we did a couple of Maimorim from Yud Aleph. And Mamish, I'd like to do this when we have extra weeks to go from the beginning. In other words, we're learning from both sides. From the end, Mata Ibn Kavach, Kait Mitzrik. Maimorim from the earlier years were much longer than the Maimorim from later years. And we learned Friday a Chayesara Maimed. There was no Toldos Maimed. We're learning a Chayesara Maimed because there was no Maimed of Toldos from Tovshin Yud Beis. And it's one of the most Gishmake, and I guess you could say one of the most important Maimorim. It's a very basic Maimed. The Friedrich Rebbe has a whole Hemshech Maimorim from Tzadik Zayin, which is based on this. This Maimed, Bepashtos, is based on Ayin Tes from the Rebbe Nishma saying Tofresh Ayin Tes, the same Maimed. Well, you Chayesar, the Rebbe Shabbos version is more involved. If I'm not wrong, he goes into the whole business of Chushim, Riyashmir, which the Rebbe cuts out of this Maimed, but it's metaphorically the same Maimed. And by the Rebbe Rashab, you have it in common places. You have it also in Hemshech Eter, the Zalbe in Yimariches. This Zoya. And it's really traceable back all the way to the Alter Rebbe. What makes this Maimed so extraordinary is that the Maimed talks about Inyan HaSimcha, joy, and it analyzes and develops the whole Inyan of Simcha in a very real and comprehensive way. You know, I deal with teenagers. Teenagers have an ability to sit in your class for 5 years in a row and tell you honestly, you never taught me anything. They'll start reading a psychology book, or they'll join a program, and they'll come back and say, oh, finally somebody is making sense. I had this situation with a Talmud of mine. And he says he's learning all these ideas from psychology. How come they never taught him in Chassidus? So I opened up this Maimed and I showed him that these are written in Chassidus. So he learned through the Maimed. He says, Baba Mises. So then I sat down and I learned the Maimed with him. He said, oh, what's ah? One line of a Maimed is a chapter in a book. This 4 pages is a whole book, or 2 books, or 3 books. But my modern Chassidus has, you know, the Rebbe once told a younger man, there was a certain Lubavitcher younger man, I heard this b'shaita, I heard it when it happened. I heard it mamish a year or two after the event occurred. Now someone's going to tell you, maybe you made it up. Someone accused me of making up stories. I said, I heard this story when it happened. What's your source? What am I supposed to tell you? It was a Chassidus younger man, a very special person, who had a yerida, he fell. Whatever the reasons, he went through a difficult period. Today he's a big, important Lubavitcher, but he went through a period when he was an Ayurida. He went into the Rebbe in a jacket. He went to Yechidus, not a kapote, because he didn't want to lie to the Rebbe. He had very special Yechidus. And again, I heard this when I was in Yeshiva, which was maybe a year or even less after the Yechidus took place. And the Rebbe told him 2 statements that I heard then. A younger man vidir, he was reading philosophy. He was reading philosophy. A younger man vidir, daf len Chassidus a ganzen Tag. A young man like you should be learning Chassidus all day long. There was one comment. And the second comment was, Gloib mir, in Chassidus is da alle philosophies. Every philosophy and every psychology is found in Chassidus. No, but then it's concentrated. And you know what else? It's said without ego. And when something is said without ego, you sometimes don't even hear it. Not only you don't hear the one who's saying it, that's obvious, you don't hear the one who's saying it, but sometimes it's said so benignly, so neutrally, I'm in der Herdgarnish, you don't even sense what you're hearing. He says, 4 pages. 4 pages. How much is 4 pages? This is a dissertation on joy. These 4 pages you could write a book on and make a bestseller and make a lot of money. Vierblätter. Because it's very concise, very concentrated, but it is comprehensive. It is the essay on Simcha. And as I mentioned to you the other day, this originally is a Maimer of the Alter Rebbe in the Likutei Torah. And every Rebbe said this idea again and again and again in the same form, in the same structure you have it here. Some of the Maimorim begin not with the Chavai Sara, but in Likutei Torah it begins Tachas Asher Leia Vanat Azavai Lekecha B'Simcha Uv Tuva Leivav Merev Keil. It is the discussion on joy. It's so simple. If you look on top of your page, Kuf Tavasamach Dalet, I divided it up into 4 points. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet. The whole thing we're going to be learning this morning is 4 points. Now, I want to tell you like this. Friday, we learned the beginning of the Maimon, the end of the Maimon. And we learned about Chava and Noyach and Sora. And we encountered a fantastic concept. And I want to share this with you. And again, our Maimon doesn't give you all of the Oisius. Our Maimon gives you some of the Oisius. What we learned on Friday was that there is 2 ideas. One idea is called Murgash, and the second idea is called Bilti Murgash. One is called felt and one is called not felt. Which is higher? Bilti Murgash. When you do good and don't feel yourself, that's a lot higher when you do good and you do feel yourself. In fact, it says in the Maimir, the beginning of all Klipa is knowing that you're doing good. It says in Chassidus that Atzilus has a klipa. Atzilus. Elam ha'achtus. Lo yigur chada. Iru v'chayei v'gamayi chad has a klipa. But the klipa of Atzilus is not comfortable in Atzilus, so he sneaks into Bria. But there's a klipa against Atzilus. What is the klipa of Atzilus? Re'uma. Ufilak sheshma re'uma. Re'uma is re'uma. Zeh bitl. See, I'm bottled in the Yevishnah. That's the whole klipa. Being aware of bittul, not being aware that I'm smart or that I'm kind. Being aware that I'm broken and humble before God is the beginning of not being bottled. And ultimately it trickles down to Ribi Shtoshlus into the great evils that we know in this world. So feeling self in Avodas Hashem is the beginning of a big nefil and a big yirid to the lowest madregas. Now don't kid yourself. All of us live in the world of Murgash. Built in Murgash is a madrega for very, very big tzaddikim. There's a lashon for Tzemach Tzedek. Somebody once asked the Tzemach Tzedek what was Moshe Rabbeinu doing when the Yamsuf split. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do when the sea split at the Yamsuf? At the geentfet, er is given kalten brand. He was hard ice, cold fire. The Moshe Rabbeinu stood like a marble statue. No demonstration at all, and inside was yukedesh, was flamfire. So gebrennt. In other words, on the outside you saw nothing, and inside there was such an intensity. That's called bilti morgish, serving Hashem with such fluidity, with such smoothness, with such lack of static, with such efficiency that there's no awareness. Right? You have an electrical wire, and you have electricity running through it. What will determine whether the wire will be hot or cold? 2 things. Number one, if there's too much current. And number two, what the wire is made of. Some materials, some metals conduct electricity, but not very well. So they create what's called friction. Friction means that the electricity, as it runs through the wire, is being wasted. You put 100% of electricity into the wire at one end. When it reaches your house, you have only 97% left, or 95% left, or 85% left, depending on the wires. You have better wires. For example, copper wires, you have much greater efficiency. Even better wires, for example, silver wires, you have even greater efficiency. You have even better wires, for example, wires made of gold or platinum, you have even greater efficiency. Now they make wires from glass, fiber optics, so they're very, very efficient. And the more efficient the wire is, the more electricity which left the transformer reaches your home. It's not wasted in the process. The slightest heat loss as the electricity travels from your house to, from the transformer to your house means you're not getting 100% efficiency. That's Murgash. The electricity is not pure electric. Electricity is an energy, but it's only expended when it's translated into an alternative form. heat or motion. But electricity can go and go and go and go like the sun's light. There's nothing to stop it from going and going and going and going until it's translated into another form, and then it stops being energy. So when you have a system which is perfectly efficient, it's not even functioning as it's electricity, and it's completely it's just going, and it's not being translated into a usable form. There's no, it's not being wasted, so it's not even being used. It's like as if it's not there. When it changes into heat or to some other form of energy, now you're using it up, and now you feel it. So there's an Avodas Hashem where the Eibishter's presence travels through a yid at such a measure of efficiency that it's like the yid is not the metzius. That's called built-in murgish, no awareness of self. This was the madreg of Adam and Chava Kedem Machet before the original sin, and this was the Indian of Adam Marish. But then there's something called murgash, that in order to serve the Eibishter you must feel yourself, and that's us. If we wanted to serve Hashem coldly, without any feeling, we would spiritually be unalive. We must have feeling. And fakat, by us, passion is an advantage. If that's my Wari Chasidis, a person who insists on being dispassionate because he's a big intellectual is an amalek. Now that passion is inefficient. We're wasting energy. Watch a 16-year-old learn. And watch a 36-year-old learn. The 16-year-old is wasting so much energy, but you know what else? He's got a lot more energy to waste. The 36-year-old sits in one place and he talks. He listens to his chavrusa instead of shouts at him. He talks to his chavrusa and waits for his chavrusa to respond. When you're 16, you have to learn how to learn. And part of learning how to learn is learning how to deal with your ego and your chavrusa's ego. It's like pounding heads. It's very inefficient. And the process of growing up is learning how to waste less energy and to use the energy in a more productive way. But if you don't waste energy, there's no relationship. You can't have a chaver. If you're afraid of being insulted or you're afraid of insulting somebody else, you can't have a chavrusa. Can't have a chavrusa. You're missing a great quality of limud, which is called dibuk chaved and pilpul atalmidim, that interaction. So we are creatures of passion. We're creatures of self-awareness. We're not other medishin ketam achet. We're us. That murgash means that avodah is with passion. Take away that passion, we're not alive. What about that passion? There is no such thing as passion, which is exact. There's no such thing as a person serving Hashem in a demonstratively emotional way, but there shouldn't be a waste of energy. It shouldn't be some of it is wasted. And more than some of it is wasteful, some of it is used inappropriately. The simplest example for this is what they call the Chassidus HaKanoi, a zealot. A person who's very passionate about avodah Hashem burns the people around him. You're next to a very intense person, you get uncomfortable. What's his fault? All he's doing is being intense, but that's just the reality of the situation. That if you're very intense and your intensity is not with maximum efficiency, but there's some heat loss, some of the energy is not fully focused and is lost in the transition, it burns your neighbor. This is called murgash. And to say it in other words, murgash is a necessary evil. We'd all be better off if we could serve Hashem with total dispassion, like the Rebbe. Remember the Rebbe davening, yeah? Shah still. So gebrenta fire. We need passion. You take away from us passion, take from us away from Aveda, Teda and Aveda. But that murgash is inefficient. And therefore, it needs a shmirah. It needs to be guarded. If a person is in the madreg of all the Marishin Kedem Achet, we serve Hashem without any emotional, demonstrative passion and emotion, there's nothing to fear. There's a fluidity, there's a maximum efficiency, there's a focus. That means he could be involved in serving the Eibishter at deepest levels and he bothers nobody around him. If you serve Hashem with Murgash, which is the level we're all on, there is going to be an effect which is inexact, and you have to guard it. You have to guard it against hurting somebody else, and you even have to guard it against it misleading you. Our own passions. We start out with passions of Avodas Hashem, and we end up with passions of who knows what. And this is what this Maimon discusses. That Chava, Neach, and Sora were given the task to figure out how to serve Hashem with passion, and yet the passion should not go away in the destructive way. To create the Shmira, or the Bittel, that there should be passion, Murgash, and it should go to a desirable place, not to an undesirable place. Avraham and Adam Rishon, their union was built in Murgash, without passion. Chava, Nayach, and Sarah had the task of serving Hashem with passion, and anytime you serve with passion, it's like the wire that some of the energy is being changed into heat. It's inefficient, and this is the way it has to be. Anish Hostish Kalevim. And you have to make a shmira that although there is this chesed, it should be guarded against going away to a not correct place, and it should actually be made whole in terms of Avedas Hashem. This is the job of Chava, Nayach, and Sara. Chava failed. Nayach tried to fix it using the bittle of the Mayach, and he failed. So Sara tried to fix it using the bittle of Kabbalah Seil, and she succeeded. And the reason she succeeded is because she was linked to her husband, Avraham Avinu, whose Indian was built in Murgish. This is a review, far longer than it should have taken, of what we learned on Friday. And we skipped the middle of the Maimed. And the middle of the Maimed explored the same when it comes to joy. He talks about how important joy is. He speaks where joy comes from. And he discusses the risks of joy. The risks of being too effervescent, too overflowing, too bubbly, too demonstrative in terms of your joy. So we're going to now learn the middle of the Maimed. And I'd like to stick to the middle of the Maimed. In other words, the beginning and the end, which I told you until this point, is at rest. The Chayesara we did Friday. Now we're going to learn beginning with Siv Beis, Kuf Samach Dalet. Please follow me inside. Let's preface. Masha Kosov, it says in Pasuk, Ivdu es Havaye Besimcha. A Yid has to serve the Eibishter with joy. In other words, Shavedas Havaye Tzarech Lias Mitoich Simcha Davka. You want to serve God, you need joy. Va'ad, moreover, not only is joy a good idea, She'inyin HaSimcha Me'ikri Avodah Joy is one of the core aspects of the Avodah. As the Rambam writes, Rabbi Yisai, Rambam writes, that if a person serves Hashem and lacks joy, all of the Avodah is nothing, because there must be joy in Avodah. The Rambam calls joy Avodah Gedolah, a great service, a very basic and important and serious service. And the raya for this is Bashakot, which is the Pasuk in Pasheski Sove, which is, of course, the Techocho, the rebuke. When a Yid fails to serve Hashem with joy and gladness of heart, you'll serve your enemy. And what's the Pashta Pshat in this Pasuk? When you didn't serve Hashem with joy and gladness of heart, when you were blessed, so now you're going to be Rachman Litzlan, the opposite of blessing. But some Svarim explain, and for some reason, and I'll never know why, the Rambam is the one who said it first, and yet you look at footnote 18, he brings Arizal, and Charedim, and Shalom, and Tanya, and doesn't bring Rambam. I think there's a harder from the Rebbe in Rambam, in Tanya Perichavav, why? The Rambam said it first. We're not talking about a person who's doing Avedis. He's doing all mitzvahs, but he's doing it without joy. For that alone, Vavad Tasevech, that's sharf. Not talking like a person had all the good in the world and he sinned. No. A person had all the good in the world and he served Hashem. But there was no simcha shel mitzvah. There was no joy of avoid of avad tsevech. Claim it. Sha'af shaha ya inyun avoid of avadah b'shleim but he served Hashem and served Hashem peacefully, holy, perfectly. They come again nevertheless. Kivan sha'avayda hoysa b'li simcha. His service lacked joy. Lachein magia azeh ha'oynish. Simply being unjoyous or non-joyous in Avedis Hashem brings about a oynish, which means a punishment in English. The lachein yukshav eis hadreva, I don't understand. The given choice of Avedis Havaya b'shleimus was all perfect, whole, and peaceful. V'rachoy chosid, he was lacking. Inyan asimcha, one thing, no joy. Harech yisaren the inyan asimcha. Lacking joy, I could accept. Could diminish one's reward. But a punishment? Why? But the fact of the matter is, as they state in Pasuk, or as they state in Rambam, or as they state in Kabbalah, that serving Hashem but without joy brings on a punishment is a raya. Joy is a core aspect of Avedis Hashem. Thus, lacking joy. As if he didn't serve Eibishter at all. This is the reason for the punishment. And he brings you a raya. Doesn't Kabbalah. All the holy levels of Asavid Arizal reached. For the joy of a mitzvah. It says in Kisvei Arizal that Arizal reached all of his madregas through simcha. Right? What does it say about the Baal Shem Tov? Anybody know? How did the Baal Shem Tov reach all of his madregas? Anybody know? Meirev Tvilis. Hashem v'ktayv on zechem mikvah hundet emo. Isn't it ironic that in Chabad Chasidus we're not into Reiv Tvilis, we're into Simcha Shal Mitzvah? It's really interesting. Chasidus Chabad is focused on the Arizal's method. You want to be close to God, be joyous. In other Chasidus and Mikveh, is Teifus a much bigger place than Chabad. This table, not just every day, but they get Teifus 310 times. Do this. You know, they don't want to put your head up 900 times, you get dizzy, you'll pass out. Put down 300. I'm sugar the numbers of Tvilis. There never was such a thing. By the Baal Shem Tev, Mikveh was everything. By the Arizal, Simcha was everything. It's interesting that in Chabad, we're following the Arizal. In this prat, and this kama, other things like this, that the ikir in you want to be close to God, be joyous. Simcha. It's a gevaldik kakash. How could the pasuk say that serving Hashem, learning to do mitzvahs, and simply lacking joy brings you a punishment? It doesn't stand reasonable. And the teretz. Obir in teretz is as follows. Hetzachayim. Hine. Tachas akavonehi. What's the purpose of creation? The nesava kadosh baruch atliyas leyes baruch. The imusha has a desire to have for himself dira, a home, but achterim in the lowest levels. Says the Rebbe, the inyan hadira. What does it mean, a home? Who am shachos atzmas ein sof baruch, to bring down the so-called essence of the Eibush as ein sof into this world. Now, how are you mamshach atzmas to teira mitzvahs? You learn teira and you say it with your mouth. Tanya perek lamedzayin. You do mitzvahs with your physical body, using physical things. You're bringing God to the physical world, right? But what do you see in the physical world by doing physical teira mitzvahs? What's the answer? Nothing. When you take a physical piece, you get a sakedish from the other day. You take the chitas of the last 2-3 days. You take leather. You make it into tefillin. So the tefillin now holy. What do you see? You see boxes. I remember I said, I came to a hospital and there was a black guy who wanted I should say a prayer with him. So I said a prayer with him. No, Rabbi, I want the blocks. I want the blocks. He saw, I put on film, I want the blocks. He wanted the blocks. Let me tell him, I couldn't put the blocks on him. I said a prayer. A friend of mine, he's such a character. He's a big shliach. He's a chevroman with a great sense of humor. He spoke to 300 galochim. And they asked him to say a tefillah. So you know what he did? He said Ashayotza. First of all, it's a symptom of his sense of humor. You know what else? He couldn't have picked a better tefillah. Ashayotza is so beautiful. Whoever pays attention to Ashayotza? Ashayotza is about the Eibishter creating such a beautiful nature. His wife said, she stood there, she's a Chagalton from Lach, and she thought she would explode. 300 clergy, and they asked her, this is, if you know my friend, this is exact. It was very funny, but it was also correct. It was also Oisgehalton. It was a very good choice. Anyway, but I wasn't going to give him the blocks, you know, and I wasn't smart enough to say Ashayotza. But okay. What happens when you take a physical thing and do a mitzvah that nothing happens? How do you make that the Eibush that you reveal into a physical mitzvah should be seen in the world, says the Rebbe, hi ayedei simcha. Daft. You reveal godliness, the atmos of the Eibush, which is brought about to tell you that mitzvahs are revealed through simcha shal mitzvah. There are maimonim that explain that when Mashiach comes, we will see the godliness of our Torah and mitzvahs that we're doing now. But now we cannot see it unless we have simcha. My mother say a true joy of Yiddishkeit, it's not just a human joy, it's a joy of the mitzvah itself. And that's how you reveal the Eibush in this world now, even before Mashiach comes. Says the Rebbe, V'leya de'avonah v'asogah. It's not accomplished through kavanah. Intellectual kavanah in a mitzvah also reveals something in this world, but not the godliness, something much more limited. Your meditation in a mitzvah brings to you only it's your godliness. You can only bring God as you understand. You want to bring the image to the world in a revealed way and use your mind. Your mind only can grasp God as much as break and hold. But do you know why joy is so important? Because joy shows what you're accomplishing in this world. And if you learn Torah and Mitzvah without joy, you accomplish your goal. One thing, and none of it is seen in this world. To say it in other words, when you learn Torah and do mitzvahs without joy, you're serving yourself and your purpose. You're getting closer to the Eibush. But you're not serving the Eibush and his purpose, you're not changing the world. And that's why it says Magia Ha'inish. Joy reveals the Eibush. Yiddishkeit creates the Eibishter. Joy demonstrates it. And to say it more applied, it makes the Eibishter contagious. Somebody sees your Yiddishkeit and your Simcha Shel Mitzvah, he wants to be a Yid as well. That's part of the effect. And it's not accomplished through meditation, through understanding the meaning of Yiddishkeit and the Eibishter, but through the joy of Elikus. And the Rebbe continues and he says, V'dugmul adav v'edis ha'tfilah. The example is when a person davens. Sheik and avayda davening is considered the most basic service. Kemaim and azal the Gemara says, who avayda the sheba levzut tefillah. And losh nazer, I wrote on the margin, is leis pulcha, a kapulcha de bechidusa. Davening is considered the ideal service of the Eibishter. Sheshbo shnei yonim. When you daven, there's two aspects. Number one is bonanus havana vasaga balakus. There is the meditation. There's the kavana of davening. And number two, vatayle v'simcha balakus. And there's the experience of Eibishter himself. When you daven, you think and you meditate. That's using your mind. But you also delight, and the delight is the Eibishter himself. And the Rebbe says, "Hinei ha'avona v'asoga himrakli." The meditation, the understanding, is only an intermediate. La simcha v'atayna, to the joy and the delight which is going to follow. Shezehu. But the ikir of davening is to enjoy and to delight in the Eibishter. Ikir ha'avoida the tefillah, the primary purpose of davening. And the Rebbe explains at length, in this entire paragraph, why this is. And in short, the Rebbe says that when you talk about limited things, so if they're limited on the higher level, as they go lower, they become more and more limited. When you talk about infinite things, it doesn't matter where they go, they remain exactly the same. Understanding and feeling the Eibishter is a limited thing in the outset, from the outset. And therefore, no matter how many levels and layers you're going to go down, it's always going to be limited. So when you're learning Tehillim, the davening, with an intellectual kavana, that intellectual kavanah is going to be limited. The biggest genius with the greatest mind, his intellectual kavanah is going to be limited. But the joy of prayer, the feeling of Eibishter of prayer, since that comes from its root, from an Ein Sof, even as a small person, the experience that in a small way, it's still Ein Sof. He brings the Kabbalah expression, Hishtashlos Haksarim Zemizeh, which is a discussion in Chassidus. So the Rebbe says, when you daven, you're saying words. When we daven, we hope, as I love to tell people, we too are paying attention, not just God. When we daven and pay attention, we know what we're saying. But in addition to knowing what we're saying and know what we're meaning, there is the energy of the davening itself, the joy, the delight. The reward of davening is not that the Eibishter is going to give me what I ask, but that I feel connected to the Eibishter. That's an infinity. And that's joy. So just like we understand in davening, the davening is a meditation. Davening is even a feeling in the heart. But the meditation and the feeling come from levels of the neshama called midah, measured, limited. And therefore their expression is also finite. But the joy of prayer, this is an expression of the infinity of the neshama. The same is true in all of Yiddishkeit. You do Judaism, you bring the Eibishter into this world, and nobody knows it. You do Judaism with a meditation, you bring the Eibishter into this world, and they know it in a measured way. You do Judaism with a simcha, you're now revealing the infinity of the Eibishter in this world. And if you fail to do it, you're serving yourself and not serving the Eibishter's kavanah, and that's why it says what it says in the Techa. So joy is, from a religious perspective, pretty important. There's nothing psychological about it. This is Yiddish. The Rebbe is not saying be happy so that you'll have a meaningful life. Be happy so you'll save money on mental health professionals and on medications to alter your mood and whatever. You'll be success. Be happy to serve the Eibishter. And you have the infinity of the Eibishter in a revealed way in the joy of Judaism. Not in Judaism itself. In Judaism itself, you have the infinity. But the experience of infinity is in the joy. Simcha Shel Mitzvah. And this says me from the Sikhas, of course, that in Chabad, why was there such a shturm about Simcha? The Baal Shem Tov, by the way, was also into Simcha, but the Baal Shem Tov's asagas came through Mikveh, because the Arizal held, he saw the Lashon in Chassidus, Ma'oid, Ma'oid, Hirchiku, Chachma, He'emes, Midas Ha'atzvos. There's a Lashon someplace that the Mekubalim hated sadness, they hated depression, they hated melancholy, because to them there is nothing that is Deicha Ragla Shechina more, that pushes the Shechina away more than depression. For reasons you're going to see in a moment. But joy, you want God, be joyous. This is how the Arizal lived. This is how the Arizal reached all the levels that he reached. And this is why in Chassidus Simcha is such a big deal. Questions or comments?
How does one know that he's not fooling himself, that he's the Simcha?
Keep fooling yourself. Leirach yom b'shonim tevis. Of Allah yidin yizagavav, there could be no greater bluff than that. Their bluff is mutter. All other bluffs tarunished. Next sif. Bottom of page Kuf Samache Gimel Vihine. Now here we get psychological. And this psychology is so real that you can't hide. Hakli l'inyanasim hawa bittl. You want joy? Be humble. Now bittl doesn't mean shattered like a broken vessel. Shattered like a broken vessel is not humble, it's broken. And like the Rebbe explained in so many sikhs, an empty vessel you can fill. A broken vessel is garbage. We're not talking here about breaking vessels, we're talking here about emptying vessels. Humility, bittl. And the Rebbe explains, there's a pasuk that says that humble ones are included in the Rebishter, simcha through joy. In other words, through humility, the simcha one reaches and touches joy. As the Friedrich Rebbe explains, there's a whole hemshech. He explains with a question. The question is, looking at it on the surface, humility and joy are very opposite. Why? Humility seems to be a motion, a movement of suppression, of fakvetchkeit. Joy seems to be a motion of expansion and breath. How can you say through humility a person reaches joy? In other words, the old expression that if a person walks like a schlepper, and if a person is very free and happy and open, what a big shot. And in reality, the exact opposite is the truth. Frequently that schlepper is so busy with himself that he can't even move. And a person who's free, and the sign of freedom, by the way, doesn't mean you're open and free, that there's space for other people in your space, that's the humble person. Looks are deceiving. Joy isn't measured, piety isn't measured, humility isn't measured in how fachmaret you are, how preoccupied with yourself you are, but how unpreoccupied with yourself you are. That's what a happy person is. He's not busy with himself. And that's what a depressed person is. He only thinks about it himself. So that fachmaretkeit, that preoccupation with self is not humility. It's as the chassidim say, eshtinkt. It's unpleasant. And there's nothing humble about it. So the Rebbe explains, achainyin hu deteretzitz. Humility does not mean brokenness. That comes from self-effacement. A person says, I'm terrible. I've told this to you 1,000 times, yeah? If a person comes to you and tells you, I'm terrible, or I'm perfect, he's a liar. Nobody is terrible. Nobody's perfect. Everybody has redeeming aspects. Nobody's perfect. But it's very uncomfortable to be in the middle. Why? Because if I'm terrible, I can write myself off and go back to sleep. If I'm perfect, I'm sitting on a pedestal and I can continue sleeping. But if I'm someplace in the middle, that means I have some value. It also means I have to increase my value. Now I got to work. I'm lazy. But that's what people do. People have a tendency to take an extreme. It's either great or garbage. Das ist nicht demes und das ist nicht demes. That's called shiftless. It's dishonest. The famous Hayim Yayim, as you know your own faults, you must know your own strengths, otherwise it's not honest. Zokter Ela Novahi, what is humility? Mitat Heder Hergesh Atzme. It's not that you don't know, you're mindless, but that you're not full of yourself. You're not busy feeling yourself. Dagam Sheyedeya Mailas Atzme, you know your strengths. But Eini Mechashev Atzme, Lamatias, you don't focus on you as a separate entity. Because the person knows of whatever attribute he may possess, are not his own. Because what is it? The Eibishter gave it to you. And when you realize that the Eibishter gave you your milus, you know you're milus, but you're not busy with you. You're busy with the Eibishter and your kavanah. The Rebbe gives koyches to chassidim. You know, this chassid gets this koyach, and this chassid gets different koyach. If you don't use it, it takes it away from you. The Alter Rebbe had chassidim who went to Rabbi Nostra Shele. And the middle Rebbe was very upset. And the middle Rebbe told him, the Tata mine and my father made you into giants, and I'm going to take it all away from you. There was a chassid named Bechaskel Droya, from Gdeli Chassidat Marazaket, Mamish. From the Mamish, the greatest of Chassidim, he was by the Banas Trashele, and the middle Rebbe was Makpid, and he lost all of his Meichen. And he used to run in the streets and scream, Vu is Chacha. Where he lost. He had Moidunika Koiches, who was a big Baal Madrega, but he got these Koiches from his Rebbe. We all get our koiches from the Eibishter. When you see your koyches as your own, that's not anova. When you see your koyches as the meibishtin, that is anova, because then you're not busy with you, you're busy with your purpose. And he gives two examples. The first example is emunah, and emunah, we have Avraham Avinu. The second example is ahava, and ahava, we have Avraham Avinu. A person realizes he believes in God, he loves God. He says, what's to be proud of? I was born a Jew. Six lines into the page, this is the famous quote that we all know, Moshe Rabbeinu, it's in this moment. The Ksiv Bey, what does he have about Moshe Rabbeinu? Va'ish Moshe, the man Moshe Rabbeinu, on of Meyed, was most humble, Mikala Adam, from all people, Asher Apnei Adam, face of this earth. And by the way, in the Maimorim it brings, over here, in this Maimir, that he was humble especially, Lagabi Dora, the Ikvas of the Mashiach. Remember that? It's in this Maimir Chayisara. He saw all generations, till the generation of Mashiach. And he saw the Al-Yevish of the Amaligim and the Mesiris Nefesh. He said, I'm humble, Lagabi, those Jews. Moshe Rabbeinu was Chochmah Datzilus. And what are we? Better not discuss it. He knew who he was. He was still humble, because he understood. First of all, his milas are not his toil. The Eibish that gave it to him. If somebody else was given his milas, he would be as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. Maybe he would have done it even better. So humility is not dishonesty. Humility is context. What's the context? Adang the Eibishter. And when a person has that, to use the correct psychological term, he's free. One of the greatest prisons a person can be in, and one of the most difficult prisons a person can to redeem himself from, is the prison of self-absorption. Of self-absorption, preoccupation with self. And self-absorption comes from self-consciousness, from a lot of healthy ego, and self-absorption comes from the believing, forgive me for using simple words, I'm God. It's a lot of stress to be I'm God. You know why? Because it's hard to sustain. So how do you stay God when you're not God? You make sure everybody else is less than you. That's it. If you can't be God, make sure everybody else is less of a God than you are. It's another form. That's what an ego is. That's why arrogant people have to condescend and create walls around themselves. They're not because they're bad. It's self-preservation. And the root of it is that they're forgetting that there's a boss. And when we have the Eibishter as the center of our lives, we don't become smaller. But we don't have to be responsible. The Eibishter is responsible. We have to do our shtikele. And then you're free. And there's incredible joy in that. You'll have to wait a minute. This humility is a vessel for joy. Right? Because when is a person happy? A person is happy when you give him something he hasn't earned and he appreciates it. People are happy when you give them something and he appreciates it. If he has to work for it, the joy isn't there because he worked very hard. If he hasn't worked for it and he doesn't appreciate it, he's not going to be joyous. Why? Because he is, bluntly, a spoiled brat. But if you give somebody something they haven't earned for and he has enough seichel to say thank you and to rejoice in it, that's joy. Okay? V'lachein am dihine. Inyan ha-simcha hu kasha makab matan adaf, you get a gift. Hoin otta, great wealth, but oh, maybe it didn't work. V'lachein, hine. Misha magit esmailas atzmai, a person who's busy all day with himself. Ein le ha-simcha, ein ha-simcha shalai b'shleimus. Whatever you're going to give him is not going to be enough. Because ani v'yasiyed. He called Masha yesterday, whatever he has, he deserves it. In Yiddish. Er hadas fardint, it's coming to him. And especially if he has this high opinion of self and he is lacking something, he goes into a depression. I deserve. However, seven lines from the end of the paragraph, and Kuf Samach Vav, Vedavke Mish, Yesh, Bemidas Hanova, one who has humility. Hainadav Shedeh, Maila Satsma, he knows who he is. He has a state of bittle, but yadi, because he knows shemaleis of nitnu mil milo, his miles come from God Almighty. The mayonese and miles elos, Allah had these strengths given to a fellow. He would be even better than he is himself. Says that Rabbi Azai has simcha tzlei b'shleimus, the joy by this person. You know when it says in the Mishnah, Eizehu Asher has sameach b'chelkei, that's true. absolutely true. And if we could only acknowledge it and aspire to it, we'll be happy people. Who is happier than a person who has no needs? Not because there's no lacks, but because there's no needs. And who was less happy than a person who has everything and he always needs something more? Especially something more is what his neighbor has. There's a good reason why Lo Yisachmod is one of the Aseres HaDibros. Do not covet. It's one of the Ten Commandments. What's the big deal? What's wrong with jealousy? Hakina v'hataiva v'hakoved meitzin es adam en ha'olam. A jealous person, a lustful person, and a person who seeks artificial honor is not being taken out of the world. He's dead the day he's born. He has no life. A person has to get over himself and live. And you get over yourself and live when you have the Eibishter in your life and you say, I thank God for what I have and I'm very satisfied and happy. That's joy. So the Rebbe says, joy makes a didah b'tachtonim. Without joy, you have kach v'kach. And joy is rooted in humility. What is humility? Get over yourself. Be'emes. Great advice. Three lines from the bottom. V'gamim chosalei is a David, even if he's lacking something. Ein zegeidim la'atzvah, it does not depress him. Because this person is not in a state of mind, he deserves more. For other Abba, to the contrary, whatever he has, what he has already, he's undeserving, and therefore he rejoices in what he has. So we have point B. What does point B? That you want real joy, have humility. Humility is the key to success. You want to grow? Be humble. In the world, you want to grow? Compete. And Teda agrees with competition, by the way. But there's a difference between competition and jealous competition. Competition means I'm excelling against my own potential. Jealous competition means I'm excelling against your potential. And the moment I'm better than you, I stop working. That's a disease. That's a sickness. A happy, free person also competes, but he competes in such a way that if he loses, he laughs. An unhealthy person competes, even when he wins, he cries. So the first point is joy, and the second point is humility. But now we get to the third point. And the third point is that joy needs shmita. Joy needs guarding. Why does joy need guarding? Because our joy is not 100% efficient. Our joy has aspects that are inexact. It's effervescent, it bubbles, it overflows. And the joy can bring to hurting somebody else. The joy can bring us into a light-headed state, because as I said before, we serve Hashem b'mur gash, with passion. Serving Hashem with passion is considered a deficiency, a flaw. But in our world, we must have this flaw, because if we don't feel, we're not alive. But when we do feel, the nature of those feelings has aspects that are inexact. So there's another reason for the humility, that when you're joyous, and you're joyous in an effervescent, overflowing way, it shouldn't lead us into hurting somebody else or lead us into hurting ourselves. And now comes point three, the bottom of page, Kuf Samach Vov. This bittle and humility, which is the basis for joy, has to influence that the joy one experiences, the simcha lekis, is a godly joy, and that it should be b'li hergesh atzmei, without feeling yourself. When you're joyous and you're bubbly and you're pronounced, you feel your joy and your delight. Hine, mitzatnuas. It's not the joy itself. It's the momentum of haispashtus, of the expansiveness. If you do what we know, simcha peretz is gedet. Simcha breaches boundaries. It's conceivable you start out happy and you end up hyper. Will have a negative ill effect at the end. If at the end there may be a yinika, even when the joy is a holy joy, it's not ideal. And he brings you what I told you in the introduction. Like Chassidus explains, on the pasuk ufilak sheyoshmor umo, that the Uma is ACA, so the Uma, see Bittl. Shemayetze Bechin is Bittl. Kuf Samach Vayin atop, it's a state of Bittl. Ma, Ma means Bittl. Halei HaBittl, Atmei B'morgesh, you're Bittl to the Eibishter, and you know it. Parenthesis, Meken unvising them Bittl. The guy is Bittl, and you see it. Shezeu Re'u Ma, Re'u Shani Bittl. says the Rebbe, who are in Klipas Neged Atzilus? It's the Klipa of Atzilus. Now we all wish we had the Klipa of Atzilus. We got the Klipa of Ikvesa de Ikvesa de Meshicha. In Eilam Azeh Hagash Mivachumri Tachta and Chain Tachta Mamata Yemenu. As you can show him, gave him a pay, do be equal to Ra. And on and on, we live in a pretty rotten world from a spiritual perspective. Yeah. But the beginning of all of this is that in Atzilus there's a being that's bottled and noticed. Like I told you the story on Friday, Rav Aaron Strachler, he's jumping up and down on the table. And as soon as Rav Isaac Homler realizes that he realized that he's standing on the table, he says, Arka, Arka, Krichar up from Tishker off the table. Because the moment you're serving Hashem and you're aware of yourself, you're serving yourself. V'cheinu, five lines in the top, V'cheinu b'nyin asim, for the same is true of joy. K'shekasher asimchi b'murgash, when you're joyous in a passionate, in a demonstrative way, or the efshet, it's conceivable, sheyetze mezat, that it should result ultimately in yin shal ragom, an absolute evil. Like people who are bad people, but usually it's contained, when they become happy and they become comfortable and they start showing, you see all their ugliness. And therefore, says the Rebbe, three lines at the end of the paragraph, azel shal bitl akluz simcha. You want to have proper joy, there has to be bitl. Should be joyous and not feel it. Now, how many people do you know who are effervescent and joyous and don't feel it? Says the Rebbe Sif Dalet. You know when it was possible to be joyous and not feel it at all? This is how the world was. The world was perfect. In other words, should we have a godly joy? Without feeling yourself, every person could have done this. Says the Rebbe, but you know when that was? Until Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas Tevara, period. So everyone is exactly a man and a woman. Before the original sin, what they call in medical health, baseline with built-in murgish. Based on I'm serving the Eibish, I'm not feeling myself. So then, the Bittul quieted the joy. But that's a long time ago, and great people. We're now, and we're small people. Continues the Rebbe, and he says, Mashen ki lachrichat et adas, currently after the original sin. Sh'az efsher, sh'tir yasim ha morgash, reality is that our joy is bubbly and overflowing. And I got a secret for you. It better be morgash. What's going to happen if our joy has no morgash? It will not be, period. So we have to serve Hashem passion. And passion is a necessary evil. Because the passion makes us feel the Eibishter, but it invariably and inevitably makes us feel ourselves. You can't have one without the other. And the Rebbe goes into Chatei Tzadas, and the Rebbe develops the original sin, Bekitz and Imrit, and explains a very interesting idea. Adam and Chava lived in a static free world, in a maximally efficient world. Adam and Chava lived in a world where godliness penetrated through them like a wire of gold or a wire of platinum or a wire of glass, fiber optics. So the same energy that went in came out with zero heat loss. So the baseline was murgish. But they sinned. What does the sin prove? The sin proves that before they sinned, the possibility for sin existed. Because that before they sinned, the possibility for sin had not existed, they couldn't have sinned. Okay? Kumta is Adam and Chava before the original sin, and the way the Maimed developed it, Chava as she was separate from Adam, Bidako min Adake, the Eidos the way, even though she was living what looked like a frictionless world, had the tiniest measure of inexactitude, of inefficiency, of murgash, of friction, that allowed her to contemplate eating from the Eitz Hadas Tevara, which is the tree of passion. Once she ate it and fed it to her husband, the whole world fell into that state. So before Eitz Hadas, baseline was built in murgash, that was normal. Now it's only for the biggest tzaddikim. So we begin reading. Five lines from the bottom of the page, please. Kuf Samach Zayin. Move on, this teaches us. Shalachrei Chetei Tadas, after the original sin. I'm eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Hinei Gam HaSimcha. Ba'avei Des Havaye. When a Yid serves the Eibishter in joy, he be'eit v'chichel yid b'murgash, it can be passionate. And I must add, not only it can be, it better be. No passion, no avoida. V'kiva and kasher HaSimcha b'murgash, since one's avoida is passionate, can have a negative ill effect. So the Rebbe says very radical words. Now I have a secret for you. These words are only radical because we've been radicalized. Deb is about to state common sense, which is completely not accepted in today's Lubavitch. This maimed is 60 years old. Lochain, therefore, Efshed, it's impossible. Shatihi Aveda Besimcha, the Shabid Aveda Simcha, Eitzel Kalachat Vechad Mishon. The average Jew cannot afford to be joyous because of the dangerous side effects. Not every brain can tolerate this. You should have divine joy, and it should be without feeling yourself. Sound unfamiliar? Good. Sound familiar? Oh my gosh. Only tzaddikim. The rest of us, kuf samaches, who are not tzaddikim. Our joy can only be on the outside, inside. To see fear and acceptance of the yoke, that the joy is but other with trepidation. The question is, how can you have joy and trepidation at the same time? How could you be in a state of awe and a state of joy at the same time? So he brings a famous mashal, a slave. A slave belongs to his master. What that means? A slave belongs to his master. He belongs to his master like his chickens and his goats and his cows and his couch and his car. He has no identity. Hard to fathom, but true. Yet the slave does his job. He wants to do it nice. Why? What does he get from it? Nothing. But it's a fact. A slave gets pleasure of doing it right. Why? Because he becomes so much the property of his master. So there's a phrase in Chassidus. He delights in his master's delight. He's so bottled his master. When his master is happy, that's his happiness. So you can be so bottled to the Eibishter that you enjoy the Eibishter's joy. But you by yourself cannot afford to be joyous. Five lines from the end of the paragraph at the end of the line. Kuf Samaches, first paragraph, five lines from the end. Umizem Muvan Gamba Veda Sa'ad, this explains human beings. Unless you're the biggest tzaddik. The biggest tzaddik could be besimcha. The rest of us are not allowed. That gamba avedas ha'adam. How is efshalias? How could it be beizat nuis? The simcha or the other, both joy and trepidation simultaneously. V'hainu shemitat shleimus akabal so the other. One is truly bittel to the Eibishter. Nasa gam in a simcha that could be a joy, because he knows that this is what the Eibishter wants. Shaydezen nishleimus akavon al yeyin the siyas dira leyes barach betachteinu, with which this class started. You make a dira betachteinu. Ella, but by the average person, hasimcha bepnimius, the joy is hidden. Except for tzaddik. According to this maimir, only tzaddikim allowed to be happy. It says in the maimorim, asur to gemara mesechta baba basi, asur la adam la mala piv tzchayk be'el mazeh. A Jew in this world is not allowed to laugh. Shaneimar oz yimale tzchayk pinu. When Mashiach comes, we're gonna laugh. It says, "Amar Chassidus, tzaddikim are allowed to laugh. Why? Because tzaddikim are holding the madrega of the Yasid Lavi. Their laugh, even though it's overflowing on the outside, is not going to bring to a unique sachitzayim. Regular people are not allowed to laugh. So the Rebbe says in this maimed, joy is so important. But for the ordinary person, because of the risks of being too happy, you should contain it. Now you tell me, does this sound like the Lubavitch Rebbe? You know. So someone came to you want to talk about Hashgacha Pratis? We learned this Friday." I sat in my house agonizing what I should teach. So I had a guest Friday night. So I want to ask you a question. Before I had a chance to ask the question, my wife asked me to chazer the maimon, which she later regretted because it was too esoteric. And this person's question was on the very maimon we learned Friday. Can you imagine? It was such a hashgacha pratis. They sat and learned, they came to me and said, wait a minute. It's just so anti-Rebbe. It's true, it is. The Rebbe's, first of all, I want you to know, the Rebbe started talking about simcha Chai Elo Tovshin Yud Aleph. The first time that Rebbe made Simcha radical was the first Chai Elo. He spoke about Tshuva Mitech Simcha. It was a revolution. There is no question that the Rebbe has changed the Jewish thinking. You know what the Rebbe said? It says, Oz La'odam L'malav Pivtcheik Oz Yimoli. Says, what's Oz? Oz is eight. The Friedrich Rebbe is the eighth from the Baal Shem Tov. Now we're allowed to laugh. Hesta Mais. This same Maimer that Rebbe said again, I believe, in Tovshin Mem Aleph, it's Muga. It's a very different spin. The Rebbe clearly changed. Here it says that be careful from being too happy. The Rebbe says more simcha is a greater solution. You have a problem with Hoylulus Noch Simcha. The Rebbe understands our generation better than we do. He understands our Yetzirahs better than we do. And the Rebbe says, Haim Tavn Hobm Simcha. What about all of these fears? The fears are well founded. Kenira B'chosh. Nevertheless, the answer to the Hoylulus that comes from Simcha is only Simcha. Because without it, we don't stand a chance. So this is a mind of our Rebbe, which is really in a traditional spirit. But you see the points. Yid has to be poshet joyous naveyas Hashem. That's how you reveal the Eibush in this world. The joy comes from humility. The joy has to be guarded. And the guarding of the joy is that when you have joy, you should have a little bittle in it. And the whole point of this maimed is this was Chava's job, not Adam's job. This was Sarah's job, not Avraham's job. They were supposed to be vimurgish, passion, and to bring into the passion a bit. Okay?